please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The all-merciful, the all-compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrents fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually, and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makes the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willst, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O he who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, and this program today is special. We're going to speak about Lady Zahra, role model for women. Today, Sunday, is the 12th of Jamadil Awwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 7th of the month of Day, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 27th of December, 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment of today's special by recitation of Surah Al-Imran, the third chapter of the Holy Quran, verse 92.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون وما تنفقوا من شيء فإن الله به عليم.
Never will you attain the good reward until you spend in the way of Allah from that which you love. And whatever you spend, indeed Allah is knowing of it.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In the Quran, we read the commandment on being generous and munificent. On the night of her wedding, when Lady Zahra, peace be upon her, was making her way to her husband's home, was wearing a new wedding dress. Historical accounts narrate that a poor woman approached her or came to the door of the house she was in and asked for clothing to cover herself with. Rather than giving her their old dress, which she had, she actually gave away her brand new wedding dress and wore her old clothes on her wedding night.
Increasing in their flavors, we turn to you in sheer delight, for truth never strong to fight.
Fatima, the perfect role model. In the history of Islam, for every group or stratum of society, there is a suitable role model who is guiding light for salvation and on the path to perfection. The role model for women, as declared by Allah and His Prophet, is Hazrat Fatima Zahra alayha salam. As rightly stated by the noble prophet, peace be upon him and his family, Fatima is the best of all women of the world, Sayyidatun Nisa al-Alameen, and a role model for all Muslim women. Referring to this, Imam Khomeini, the founder of Islamic Republic of Iran, said, "The history of Islam is witness to the immense respect that the prophet had for Hazrat Zahra, which also powerfully reflects on the importance of women in society. If they are not superior to men, they are definitely not any inferior." Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the ministering. In this episode, we are going to review some remarkable and praiseworthy qualities of Hazrat Fatima Zahra salamu alayha, the daughter of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We find that the sunnah or the common practices of Hazrat Fatima Zahra salamu alayha is still regarded as a good role model, not only for ladies, but for all Muslims, so whether male or female. We find that Hazrat Fatima Zahra salamu alayha was such a noble worshipper that according to the very praiseworthy and reliable hadiths as related by Ibn Shahr al-Shub or Allama Majlisi, she was the most ardent worshipper, not only in her time but throughout history among ladies. Now we find that whatever Hazrat Fatima Zahra salamu alayha did proves to be still very didactic and educative for us. Remember that when Hazrat Fatima Zahra salamu alayha got married to Imam Ali alayhi salam on the first on the first night of their living together, Hazrat Fatima Zahra salamu alayha was very thoughtful, and when Imam Ali alayhi salam asked her about her thoughtfulness, she mentioned that her moving from her father's house to Imam Ali's house made her remember the life after this world and the life on the day of judgment and being resurrected on the day of judgment. And because of this, being a very much God-fearing personality, she never abandoned performing supplementary salats and prayers at midnight, even on the first night of joining Imam Ali alayhi salam as her husband.
Allahumma salli ala Fatimata wa abiha. Allahumma salli ala Fatimata wa abiha. Wab'aliha wa baniha bi'adadi ma ahata bihi. اللهم صل على فاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها بعدد ما أحاط به علمه.
Fatima Zahra, in the words of the infallibles. Fatima, the perfect human being. The Prophet said, "Many men have reached perfection, but from among all women, only four women have reached perfection. No other woman apart from these four will reach this status." Those four women are Asiya, Maryam, Khadija, and Fatima. In other words, The Prophet presents these four women as the best and highest moral and practical examples for women in all ages, from the past until the future, whom all women should follow. This is today's special about a great lady. And now collective and communal responsibilities of Lady Zahra. One can easily appreciate from the historical records as to how she performed different duties towards the members of the society she was living in at that time. She was seen giving away her own marriage dress, jewelry, food, and other material possessions to the needy Muslims whenever required. Not only towards Muslims, but she also performed her similar role as a helper and supporter, and whenever required towards the followers of other religions. She fulfilled her social responsibilities to the utmost level of self-sacrifice and not seeking any thanks or return, only as a duty toward Allah and His religion. These social duties and responsibilities were fulfilled by her in such a manner that her own life and of her immediate family members were risked due to lack of food and other necessities. This highly unique style of fulfilling social responsibilities was not limited to giving away in the way of God, even when she would pray whole night to Allah, the well-being of others. She would give preference to the members of the Muslim societies over her own family members. Such high level of uniformity in thinking and in action and sense of responsibility is unfounded in Muslim history.
Fatima Zahra alayhi salam, she was the gift. She was the gift of Allah to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And Fatima is very special. We don't only respect Fatima al-Zahra just because she is the daughter of Rasulullah. Otherwise, according to narrations, Rasulullah had other daughters. Fatima was different. Fatima was the connection between prophethood and imamah. She was the bond that connected the prophethood with the imamah. And this is why Fatima al-Zahra is very important. Rasulullah would say about Fatima al-Zahra, he would say, Fatima qurrata ayni. Fatima, she's the joy of my eyes. This is why Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, she's a role model for us. She's an example for us. And she's an example for all of us, men and women. Fatima al-Zahra, she's an example for the woman because she was a daughter, she was a wife, and she had children, she was a mother. But she's also an example for all of us, the men, because we also have mothers, we have daughters, we have wives. So Fatima al-Zahra serves as an example for all of us. We all learn lessons from Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. Just like the ladies before her, Allah says about Asiya. Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun. Allah says, ضَرَبَ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah has made an example for the believers, not only the woman. Allah has made an example for all the believers. Asiya, ضَرَبَ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ. The wife of Fir'aun. Her husband was Fir'aun, one who was claiming to be God. إِذْ قَالَتْ رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عَنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. If Asiya is an example for the mu'mineen, for all of the believers, then Fatima al-Zahra is also example for the believers.
Dear brothers and sisters, as you see, this is a very nice and interesting discussion, and because of that, we try to know more about this great and noble lady. So it's a good idea that we continue this topic on the next episode of today's special, inshallah. So please follow today's special on IRIB English Radio. Fi amanillah.
Ya Fatimatu Zahra, Ya Bint Muhammad, Ya Qurrat Ayn al-Rasul, Ya Sayyidatana wa Mawlatana, Inna tawajjahna wa astashfa'na wa tawassalna bika ila Allah. وقدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وجيهة عند الله اشفعي لنا عند الله.
Food for thought. Hello everyone, and today on the eve of the martyrdom anniversary of Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, the daughter of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, let us present you an excellent statement on social justice by this most noble lady. Completion of weights and measures is a cause for preventing the neglect of others' rights.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Thank you.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina wa Mawlana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala Ahli Baytihi al-Tayyibin al-Tahirin al-Ma'sumin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. We mentioned in one of our previous episodes that a person will be rewarded or punished for those things which are in his ability to perform. So for example, a person will be rewarded for refraining from something in which he is able to perform, and a person who cannot perform something cannot be punished for not performing it. And we gave the example of a person who absolutely cannot fast, but there are recompenses that he has to give in order for that fast to be, you know, kind of paid back. And I said this is something that our brothers and sisters can follow up in jurisprudence or in the jurisprudential shows on IRIB English Radio. But in our concern, we are more concerned with the ethical issues, with the, you know, the traditions that show us that, you know, this type of action, that if a person has the ability to refrain from something, and thus rather the person has the ability to do something, and this thing that he is able to do is forbidden, and he refrains from it, what will be the reward of this person? In the previous one, we said there will be spiritual rewards for it. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect him from the fire, from the great terror, and, you know, allow him to enter into paradise. In this one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not only provide this person with spiritual blessings and blessings in the hereafter, but there will be something for this person also in this world, a recompense. So for example, the Holy Prophet has said that no sooner does a man who is able to commit a prohibited act abandon it. Anybody rather who has the ability to commit a sin, has the sin in front of him, and abandons it only for fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, as we mentioned, that not before any other reason except that he or she sees Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watching them, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give this person as a recompense in lieu of something that is better for him in this present world before the hereafter. So for example, this person refrains from committing, for example, haram business. He has ability to commit it, he has ability to partake in it, but for fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he refrains from it. And he feels that, oh, you know, I might have lost some money or I have lost some profit. The hadith is telling us that no, because you have obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have shown obedience and you have made the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala your objective, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will recompense you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you that which you wanted, but in a much better way and even in a more fulfilling form. Hence we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who truly understand that he is present everywhere, and to abandon sins and to abandon disobeying him for fear of his punishment, and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us things which we want in a better way and in a halal way. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانا يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu Alaikum. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, program that broadcasts from Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran. And its aim is to bring the recitation of the Holy Quran into our lives. In this program, first we're going to have some quotes about the Holy Quran by some Western scholars. Then we are going to listen to some verses by famous reciters. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed, is going to analyze the recitation. And at the end, we have a segment called Attractiveness of the Holy Quran, presented by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Stay tuned. In this part, we're going to have some scientists' comments regarding the Noble Quran. Professor Palmer, one of the major scientists in geology in the U.S., has said about the Noble Quran, "It discusses the past, the recent period, and the future. I do not know the cultural level of the people in the period of Muhammad, and I do not know their scientific level. If it is as we know about the low scientific level in this ancient period and the absence of technology, then there's no doubt that what we are reading nowadays in the Quran is a light from God. He inspired it in Muhammad. I had made research into the early history of civilization in the Middle East in order to know if there was such perfect information as this. If there was no other information like the Quranic information in that ancient period, this strengthens the faith that God sent Muhammad. He sent to him a little amount of his large science, which we have discovered only in recent time. We are hoping for continuous dialogue in the subject of science with the Quran in the field of geology." Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, now it's time to listen to the recitation of verses 36 to 40 of Surah Al-Qiyamah, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Basyuni.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أيحسب الإنسان ألم يكن نطفة من مني تمنى ثم كان عاقبة فخلق فسوى
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters in faith. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran on IRIB English Radio. What you just listened to was the recitation of Surah Al-Qiyamah, verses 36 to 40 by Sheikh Muhammad Basyuni. Now we want to analyze this recitation in terms of the rules of Tajweed. First of all, I should say that Sheikh Basyuni was reciting this entire recitation in the riwayah of Warsh an Nafi'ah. This is a very famous riwayah in the world, especially among Egyptians and the countries in North Africa. For example, this riwayah has certain characteristics, such as the naql, أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ, where the haraka of the hamza goes back to the second letter that's before it. أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ, instead of saying أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ, Warsh would say أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ. That's one difference. Another difference is the تَقْلِيل. تَقْلِيل means inclining alful mad to ya'ul mad, but not too much, just a little. And also, we had one vowel difference, short vowel difference. Ayahsibu linsanu, not ayahsabu linsanu. Warsh says ayahsibu linsanu. Instead of a fatha, it gives a kasra to the seen. It's common among those, you know, in the ikhtilaf riwayat and qira'at, it's common that sometimes one riwaya pronounces one letter with a different haraka. And now the taqlil. Sude. Instead of saying sude, he says sude. And this is taqlil. Alam yaku nutufatan min manintumni. Now, Warsh says tumne instead of yumne. The reason is that yumna refers to mani, which is a masculine noun. But if it were to refer to nutfa, nutfa is a feminine noun. So the verb should also be feminine, not masculine. أَلَمْ يَكُنْ نُطُفَةً مِّن مَنِيٍّ تُمْنَ. So tumna goes back to nutufa, while yumna goes to mani. Okay, so this is one of the differences between Hafs an Asim and Warsh an Nafi'. ثُمَّ كَانَ عَلَقَةً فَخَلَقَ فَسَوَّى. Again, we have taqlil. Taqlil takes place whenever we have zawatul ya or ya'atu zaida, the ya's that act as aliful mats. Okay, for example, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا. Now, some have said تَلَاهَا here in Warsh, in different ways of reciting Warsh. Some say that some places taqlil doesn't take place. You can recite it with a normal aliful mat. Okay. فَجَعْلَ مِنْهُ الزَّوْجَيْنِ الذَّكَرَ وَالْوَنْثَى. Again, we have the naql, and then we have the ikhfa, وَنْثَى. And he connects verse 39 with verse 40. وَالْوَنْثَى أَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ بِقَادِرٍ. So if you connect this mad to the next verse, it will be madul munfasil, and Warsh recites all mads with ishbar, meaning six vowel counts. Okay, so there's no difference among the except mad aridul lissukun or madul aridul lissukun, where you're allowed to lengthen it to two, four, or six vowel counts, and also madul badal, and Madul Badal, which you can lengthen into two, four, six vowel counts in Warsh. And that's it for today's program. And this is the end of this segment of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. After taking a short break, let's listen to the next segment of this program.
كتاب الله كتاب الله
كتاب الله
Dear brothers and sisters in faith, you're listening to Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, the Quran is a book that can change the life of the one who is in contact with it. In this segment, Brother Yasser Ibrahim is going to tell us stories of those that their lives have been changed by the Noble Quran.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of our Quran program, in which we look at the stories and anecdotes of individuals who were taken aback by the Holy Quran. In continuing our story of Walid ibn Mughayrah, where we saw that Walid entered into the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and the Holy Prophet recited to him twice at the request of Walid the 90th verse of the 16th surah of the Holy Quran, that is Surah Nahl. And Walid then sang some amazing and fascinating words regarding the Holy Quran. For example, that it is the pinnacle and the apex of speech, and nothing can be higher than it. It is a speech that encapsulates everything that is below it, and it is a speech that no man can bring. It is something amazing. In this regard, one of the scholars by the name of Sayyid Hibatuddin Shahrastani, underneath the story of Walid ibn Mughirah, says something extremely fascinating. He says this was the first time that a person within the city of Mecca, the place of the revelation of the Holy Quran, actually described and defined and praised the Holy Quran and in this manner. And he continues to say that if we were not sure that this Walid ibn Mughirah was an arch enemy of Islam, was not a person who was, you know, integral in the battles against the Muslims. For example, in the Battle of Badr, this individual had a very pinnacle role to play. It was not that he was an enemy against so many of the verses of the Holy Quran. And it was not that this individual in the Holy Quran himself, that this individual within the Holy Quran itself was, you know, damned and led to damnation. It would not have been far-fetched for us to actually suspect and to even assume that this individual, Walid ibn Mughayrah, knowing what he knew about the eloquence of the Holy Quran and saying what he said, that this individual secretly, you know, in the depths of his heart, if we did not know what we just mentioned, that he was an arch enemy, he was integral in the battles, he was actually damned in the Holy Quran. If this wasn't the case and all we had was this saying, it would not have been far-fetched for us to assume that this individual both believed in the miraculous nature of the Holy Quran and in the Prophet of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam secretly, and for us to actually count him amongst the Ashab of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But because we know of his past and because of what he did against the Muslims, obviously the jury is very clear on where he stands. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye. آياته
وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبي لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا أو you who believe استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listener of Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, we invite you to listen to Sheikh Salim Bimji.
My dear brothers and sisters in Iman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tonight I want to look at the topic of charity, of money, of wealth, and also not only just charity, but how do you and I as Muslims, how should we understand the distribution of wealth that we have in the world today. You know, in the month of Ramadan, when we gather together to recite the dua of Al-Iftitah, and we gather for all the supplications, there's a very interesting prayer that we make. And it begins by saying, Allahumma adkhil ala ahli al-kubur al-surur. Allahumma aghni kulla faqir. Allahumma ashbib kulla ja'in. Allahumma aqsib kulla uryan. Allahumma fuqq kulla asir. It goes on and on. There's about 18 or 20 things we mention in there. But if you read those things that we're asking for, yes, we begin the dua by saying, Allahumma, O Allah, Allahumma rudda kulla gharib, O Allah, allow every person to return back to their home. Every traveler, every stranger, allow them to get back home. Allahumma fukka kulla asir. Allahumma, for example, أصلح كل فاسد من أمور المسلمين. O Allah, help us to correct and rectify all of the problems amongst the Muslim community. Yes, it's a dua. We talked about dua last night. But this dua and the wealth that we have, it doesn't mean that Allah, we just make a dua and Allah will change the situation of the world. And so when Allah gives you and I excess money, when Allah gives us anything in excess or anything more than we need for our day-to-day life, that extra is actually, I would say, a loan from Allah. Allah gave us it. Yes, I went to school, I went to work, I got my paycheck from my boss. But at the end of the day, we have to look at things from the Tawhidi perspective, what I talked about on the first night, that we have to realign our understanding of Allah, of God, and that we focus everything with God in the middle. And when I get wealth from Allah, when I get my paycheck from my manager, I have to realize it is through Allah that I got that wealth. You know, there are people, for example, in Surah Yasin, this complaint is brought up. There are people who would tell Rasulullah that, you know, these poor people on the streets, if they're really needy, if they're really in a difficult situation, why doesn't Allah help them? Because Allah has everything. Why doesn't Allah help the poor people? And sometimes maybe we use that same answer, that these poor people, whether they be back home in our home country or here locally in Calgary, we might say, well, that homeless man, why should I give him? God can take care of him if God really wants to. But reflect on a verse in Surah Yasin, what we say. The verse says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَنْفِكُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهِ. And when it is said to these people, spend out of that which God has given to you. It's the rizq of Allah. It's not my personal wealth. It's not my money. It's what Allah gave to me. وإذا قيل لهم أنفقوا مما رزقكم الله قال الذين كفروا للذين آمنوا. Those who disbelieve in God, who don't, and that doesn't mean a kafir as in a non-Muslim, it can mean those who cover the truth, who don't want to acknowledge that they have been given by Allah. So it's possible, as a side note, it's very well possible that as a Muslim, I can be a kafir. I can be a kafir Muslim. I might be a Muslim in terms of praying to Allah, but I'm covering the realities of religion. So in essence, I'm a kafir. I don't accept all of the beliefs in Islam. I use Islam as a buffet. Right? It's like a buffet religion. I pick and choose what I want. I'll pray because it doesn't affect me giving anybody for my hard-earned money. I'll do other actions. I'll fast in Ramadan because Islam for me is a buffet religion. I'll pick and choose on the table what I want. But when it comes to charity, I don't want that, because why should I give my money to somebody else? Why should I, who I've worked 60, 70, 80 hours this week, why should I give somebody else my money? So Allah says, when people are said that, قَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنُطْعِمُ مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ أَطْعَمَ. The kafirs say that, can't Allah feed this person? If he is really needy, God has everything, why doesn't Allah come and feed this needy person? In antum illa fi dalalim mubin. You people are just completely ludicrous. You're insane. You're mad. Right? That Allah should feed these people. Why should I give out of my money? But we have to realize, brothers and sisters, that charity is an obligation that we have. Look at all of the ayat in the Quran where Allah speaks about money that you and I get from our boss, from our company, from our business. And always, if not always, a majority of the time, Allah uses this phrase, razaqakumullah, that Allah is the one who gave you that rizq. So in essence, Allah gives it to you and I as a trust, as an amana. We're holding it for Allah. And then Allah says, oh, by the way, there's somebody in your city who's needy, go and help that person. And you'll say, well, with what wealth? And Allah will say, I gave you wealth. Remember your paycheck? You spent a bit of it. You've got X amount in your bank account. Take a bit of that out and go and give it to the needy individual. The verse from Surah Al-Isra for tonight, where Allah says, where He talks about the charity that we should give, is He says that give to the people that are the most needy. وَآتِ ذِي الْقُرْبَ حَقَّهُ. And then He says, وَالْمِسْكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَلَا تُبَذِّرُوا تَبْذِيرًا. It's interesting when you look at where we have to spend our wealth. Where does Allah begin? And this is not only in this verse. There are multiple verses in the Quran about where charity should begin. You know, even in English we have a saying that charity begins at home. Meaning that our own home has to be taken care of. Whether that be our own family, our own Shia community, and then we go outside. But the initial premise in terms of charity that Allah shows us in the Quran is that charity begins with your immediate family members. And we see this mentioned in multiple traditions, that when it comes to giving to the needy, we need to begin with our families. You know, just to give you one example in terms of the fiqh and the jurisprudence that we follow. One of the obligations that we have as Muslims after the month of Ramadan, we've completed a month of fasting, is we give the zakat al-fitr. Whether we give it as the 3 kilograms of rice or the food that we give, or we come to the center, we pray the salatul eid and we give the cash equivalent, maybe $10, $12, whatever it is. I would say a majority, if not all of the Maraja, including Sayyid Sistani, may Allah preserve him, he has a ruling where he says that your zakat al-fitr cannot leave your city if you have needy people in your city. So people have come to me, they come to me many times and say, well, I've sent my zakat back to Afghanistan. I sent it to India, to Pakistan. Is that okay? And according to the Maraja, it's not okay. If you have needy Shias in your local city, it is haram. It's not allowed for that money to leave your city. I don't doubt that there are needy people in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Pakistan, in India, in Africa. There are needy all around the world. But there are also needy people here in our own communities. And when you realize that you have our own community members who are suffering, and you look at the amount of zakat al-fitr that we would collect on the day of Eid, and if that money were to be maintained locally, you could take care of hundreds, if not thousands, of needy families. So we see even in the fiqh of Islam that our community needs to be helped first, our local community. So coming back to who should get our help, as I said from the verse of the Quran, Allah started by saying, وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَ حَقَّهُ, give your family their rights.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website www.parstoday.com/EN